Benjamin, could you give me some water, please? We're going to read in chapter 16 of the book of Romans, from verse 1 down through verse 15, or 16 rather. So 1 to 16. Again, we'll give our attention to the reading of God's holy and inspired, infallible word. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord, as becometh saints, and that ye assist her, thank you, in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer, a helper, a strengthener of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus's household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphenia and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phygellan, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Amen. Again, we look for God's blessing upon the public reading of His Word to His glory and our good. Well, let us, with that Word opened and read, seek the Lord's face again in prayer. Our gracious Father in heaven, we have opened up these pages and read these words. We are amazed, Father, at the preservation of this holy book. Centuries and millennia. And yet we have it come right down to our own hands, to our own hearts, to our own lives. We pray a blessing upon it, Father, not only in its reading, for which we do, but what a blessing it is to hear it read in our own ears, in our own tongue, but also, Lord, in the preaching, which has Christ's special blessing of the salvation and sanctification of His people. Oh, may we know that He has met with us today. Look not upon us, Lord, in all of our errors and sins, but in Jesus Christ. For we pray for His glory and His kingdom to be extended this day, here and beyond. Amen. As we come to this portion, it's probably not the normal text for Mother's Day, but I was drawn to it because of verse 13. We see Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. And we'll come to that, of course, in just a moment. But we think about that statement of Paul, just generally speaking, how he mentioned Rufus's mother. even as his own mother. His heart was beating for his mother. Even like our Savior, you might remember in John chapter 19 when Jesus was upon the cross, suffering there for our sins. And as he was there, in verse 25 of that chapter, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, which you know is John, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. But you see, even Jesus, as he was hanging upon the tree, as God's wrath was being poured out upon him, his real humanity being sustained by his deity under that forsaking of God for the sins of his people, his heart was still concerned with the care of his mother, most likely widowed. And so here, even, there is this relationship that Christ established beyond just that of blood ties, as a mother and a son and a mother. For he tells John that this is now your mother. He tells Mary, this is now the son that is going to take care of you. This, of course, in this case, was based upon that spiritual kinship. So it extended beyond just the natural into that which was common to them spiritually. And so he took up that office of a son to Mary as his mother, and vice versa. She took on that role to be a mother to him as she was able in her time with him in the home. So when we come to this portion here, it is not surprising that Paul, who drunk in so much of his master's spirit, his master's attitude, and the Holy Spirit, of course, sanctifying him in that way, would have the same beating heart for a spiritual mother in this case. So we want to look at two things here today with God's help. And the first one is the identification of Rufus's mother. So if we look again there at verse 13, Paul says, Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Rufus. You'll see in your Bible the other word that we have, greet. So if you look up verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila. And it's used back and forth, sometimes greet, sometimes salute. Same word in the original. And it's translated literally in Acts 20, verse 1, and Paul had called for the church and he embraced them. You know, it means to enfold in the arms. And so here, you know, the word salute, which, you know, I have never really looked up in an English dictionary before. You know, you normally think of it, at least I do, I might be singular here, but you think of it as the military. You know, you give a salute to your officer. And it can be used that way, obviously. But it's also the first definition in my dictionary, the American Heritage Dictionary, I looked at today. It means to greet or address with an expression of welcome, goodwill, or respect. And that's what Paul is doing here. It has the same idea. This salutation, this welcoming, this goodwill, this love toward all these different folks, but particularly here in our text, toward Rufus and his mother. These two in this verse. This goodwill this welcome, this love to them. It's a verbal embracing with words that show his heart toward them. Of course, there's so many he mentions here. Paul, though cumbered about, you might say, pressed in so many ways. You remember in another place he says, what comes upon him daily is the care of all the churches. You read lists of his persecutions, his sufferings, even by false brethren, let alone just those outward enemies that are very clearly against Paul and the Christ in his church. And yet he has this list of folks that he can remember. Their kindnesses, their Christian characters, their labors. In the place of some, even their willingness to lay down their own neck, as he says, for them, to save his life. Sometimes you look in Dr. Cook's volumes on different subjects. At least one of them I know, and I think some other ones too. He'll have in the first page or two, he'll have just a list of names in alphabetical or just first names of all those he can think of that have prayed for him or that have given him money to help him further the work of the gospel. Same idea. I know Dr. Kelly told me one time that he has to make a list in his diary as he goes through when he writes his books because he'll forget folks if he doesn't. And he tries to write them all down in front of his too. Well, they're following the love of the Apostle Paul, who could write such a long list, as we say, of those who had helped him and helped brethren. Not ashamed to show the great strength he gained, the furtherance, the success that came by the help of other brethren. So he salutes Rufus and his mother. In that way, he embraces them with love by his words. Rufus, the word really comes to mean red or red-haired. So he might have been a red-headed boy from his father. If you turn back with me to Mark 15, we find him mentioned again. And I think at least most of the folks that I was consulting, different scholars and commentators, they all seem to feel pretty certain, and I think with good reason, it's the same Rufus that we find in Romans 16 is mentioned here in Mark 15 and verse 21. And again, this is the crucifixion. This is before Christ was on the cross, as we mentioned earlier, and saw his mother there and saw John there, but he's going. And as you remember, in Mark 15, 21, and they compel, that is the soldiers, one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And many tell us that Mark's gospel especially was written to Rome, the church at Rome. And so they would be familiar with Rufus and evidently Alexander as their brethren in that church. And so they would know what Simon the Cyrenian would be by his sons, Rufus, and of course Alexander. You remember that Rufus is said to be chosen in the Lord. That could just mean that he was elected. That's the word behind it. But I think it might be better, as some suggest, to look at this as chosen, as one that excelled, one that was a choice vessel, if you will, in the church, in his service. And if that is the case, you see what connection there that Simon the Cyrenian had with Christ. He had to bear the cross. He didn't have a choice. You know how it was in those days that the Roman soldiers could compel you under law certain amount of service free, and so he was pressed into this service We don't know if he was a believer. We don't know if he wanted to do it. Not really told. But it does seem, because of his sons mentioned here by Mark and Paul, and also Mr. Simon's wife, Rufus's mother, that connection with Christ there, bearing his cross, perhaps watching him, hearing the jeers, hearing the mockings, and seeing how he dealt with it, and he may have stayed and watched and heard the cries from the cross, that this man's religion was changed and it affected his whole family. They all seem now to have that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ when we come to Romans 16. The Rufus, that whose father bore the cross of Jesus to Calvary. And so it was his mother that is mentioned here, especially by Paul, to him, in connection with him. But let's go to the second point. Now we know who she is. Let's look at the indication of her worth and service. What does Paul indicate here that makes it so important for him to mention her with her chosen son Rufus? Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother. Salute his mother for me. Embrace her. Because not only is she Rufus's mother by blood and natural birth, but she's mine also. She's mine also. William Barclay paraphrased this way, who was a mother to me too? Was a mother to me too. Her worth, her character as a mother. You think of these others that Paul mentions, these other ladies here that he thanks God for and salutes and embraces in that Christian love and respect. Mary in verse 6, who bestowed much labor on us. And others, he says the same thing. But here, it's not only just labor, but it's the office or the role of a mother. Of a mother that Paul points out especially. We're not sure when this would have happened. One commentator suggests it was when Barnabas went and sought Paul to bring him to go to Antioch to help him teach and preach in Acts chapter 11. One of the men there in that church was Simeon, or called Niger, or dark-skinned. And so they think, some think at least, that that is Simon, Rufus's father, and that they would have been there, and they would have then perhaps housed Paul and Barnabas, and she may have served him there in that role of mother. That's a guess. Not sure. But regardless of when it happened, we know it did happen. We know she did take an interest in Paul as a son and perform that duty, that love, that care for him. You might remember that when Paul is dealing with relationships in the church, in the congregation, and of course it would extend to wherever, but particularly as folks are connected in congregations, he tells us how to treat one another. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, he says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. And then notice, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. And so in the spiritual connection, You know, all of us are not literally kinship by blood, but by grace. And so the older and the younger relate to one another as you would in a family. And so Here you have, she's probably older. Rufus may have been close to Paul's age, and so she would be, as it were, the age of his mother. But especially that she did that work, that office to him in the church, in the work of the Lord. Paul says it's worthy of remembrance. It is worthy of mentioning. It's worthy of expressing my respect and my love and my appreciation, my salutation to Rufus's mother, who has been a mother to me. Not only then her worth, but her service. What does that indicate about her service? Well, as we said, it's the office of a mother. In Titus chapter 2, Paul is telling the younger women what to do. That is, that the older women should teach the younger women. It says in verse 4, to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. To love their children. To be sweet to them, to be tender. To be emotionally attached to them. That friendliness, that love in that sense toward her children. So first of all, I would say that she had this children-loving attitude to Paul. She loved Paul as a son, as she would have loved Rufus and Alexander. As a spiritual son. And it worked to help him in his ministry. You know, we must start with the attitude, do we not? Yes, we can do tasks. We can do the responsibilities of an office, of a mother. Don't have to be a physical mother. But what's the spring? What's the fountain that it comes from? Is it love? Is it that pure affection for that son, that daughter, in the Lord, or otherwise? Or is it just, well, you know, I need to do this because I should? Well, we should. Because if it's a duty, it's a duty, right? But Paul says, even for, you know, you mothers, you have a child, you have to care for it. I mean, you don't have an option. At least you're not supposed to. According to God, you don't have an option. But we can do it, as we see so sadly today, without natural affection. We see some terrible tragedies that happen in families where mothers have children and they don't really love them. And so they don't see that tender care, that friendliness to them, gentleness, but rather hatred, and other times horrible consequences that go far beyond just an attitude. Rufus's mother was not like that. She loved Paul. She cared for him just like Rufus, her own son. And so what she did, she served him not only by that attitude but by real work. We'll just look, we read earlier in Proverbs 31 about the virtuous woman, particularly connected to her family. And I just want to point out a few things that Solomon records here for us about that service that would apply to Rufus's mother. Of course, Matthew Henry famously said of this chapter, it's a looking glass for ladies, a mirror for ladies to compare themselves in. And he says here in verse 1 that she teaches the words of King Lemuel, which many think would be another name for Solomon, but be that as it may, the words of the King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. And his mother taught him. She should be a teaching woman. Now, how would that apply to the Apostle Paul? Well, she didn't raise Paul, so she didn't teach him as a young child and a teenager and that kind of thing. But she may have offered comments to him personally and privately, encouragements, perhaps even rebukes, corrections. We see Priscilla and Aquila mentioned in the first part of Romans 16 in the book of Acts. After they heard Apollos preach very powerfully in one of the synagogues, they brought him aside privately to their home, we suppose, and instructed him more perfectly in the way of the Lord. But Priscilla was part of that. You think of John Bunyan, when he was a sinner, a riotous man, but the Lord was working upon his soul. And he found some ladies as he was walking down the road. They were speaking of the things of God. And he stopped. And he went over and asked them questions. Listen, they taught him about the gospel. It led to his salvation. Just because a woman in the Old Testament could not have been a priest, the New Testament is not to be an elder, a preacher in the church, does not mean they have no office, be it unofficial, of teaching. Those are great examples of how God uses the teaching, as it were, of a mother in Israel, as we read in the Old Testament, or a mother in the church, to teach out of that love, out of that care, out of that friendly concern, as we see to John Bunyan, we see to Apollos, to further them, to do them good, to help them on in the things of God. Also, Proverbs 31 says that she works for the provision of her family, of her children. Of course, her husband as well. And you'll see that in verse 13 on down. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willing and with her hands and so forth. She brings food and she makes sure they have right clothing for the different seasons and all these things. In fact, you read in verse 27, kind of summing up, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. It's in her heart to serve and to provide. And we all know sometimes our dear mothers have many details to look after, and sometimes we're not always as patient with those details. We should be thankful for that, though. That's part of how God has made women, to look after those details, to be concerned about these things. And of course, you know, when winter comes, I'm sure you're glad that your mother got you a coat in time so you're not freezing out there. And so forth. But she labors for their provision. So this lady, Rufus's mother, again, spiritually, took him under her wing. As we read of our Savior as he went through his ministry, there was many ladies that followed and provided the needs that him and the apostles had. Very much like Rufus's mother to the apostle Paul. What a blessing. What a help. What a drawing forth of Paul's salutation. As a woman in a different place that took him under her wing to provide for him. To exhort, to instruct him, most likely as well. And all, when she does these things in wisdom and in kindness and gentleness. If you look again, Proverbs 31, verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. It means that her heart had wisdom. Her heart was kind. For the scripture tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Obviously, we have needed decorum in worship services or just in conversation, you know, interruption. But women should not feel that they can never speak to ministers, to elders, to others, to help them, to instruct them, to exhort them, encourage them, help correct them. Peter says we all should be subject one to another. And so there's a good example of it. We should all be clothed, as he said, in humility. If we come to one another in this love, in this gentleness, this kindness, this wisdom, it comes in a, as it were, in a smooth way, not an abrupt and cutting way. And it should be received by God's grace. I say this mother in the time of Paul, Rufus's mother, was one to Paul too. She did these services to him as a mother. So yes, we have those that are mothers have that responsibility directly, physically, literally to their own children to do those things that Proverbs 31 other places say. But every woman can be a mother in this way. Every Christian woman should be praying, helping, where and everywhere they can in the Church of Christ. Can you live up to these things? Well, perhaps you can to some degree. But even the woman described in Proverbs 31 in many cases is an ideal thing. And of course, we have to consider too that it's written to a king. Some of the things there will not be within the reach of every woman that reads it. But the principles are there. The direction, the attitude, the care, the love is there. And that's what Paul is speaking here. And his mother and mine. He could call her his mother because of her work to him and for him and her love in all of it. Her gentleness, her wisdom. So I would encourage and challenge each woman as opportunity, of course, comes to fulfill that calling to be a mother to others. And know that as Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says, you know, you won't be able to be in the Scripture, for the Scripture is done and completed. But Hebrews assures us that regardless of that, that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered and to the saints and do minister. Paul saying there that, yes, others may not remember. Others may not care. It may look like it a waste. You may feel discouraged. But you know, the Lord would be unrighteous to forget it. It's offered up to Him through the saints as a service to Him. He won't forget it. Of what they've already done and what they're continuing to do. So if you're laboring that way, be assured that God remembers. He will not forget. He will reward you here and hereafter. You may think, well, I could never really be a mother to an apostle. I never could do that. If I try, I would completely fail. Wouldn't have the right words. Wouldn't have the right service. Wouldn't have the right support or whatever it may be. Brethren, you know, Jesus talked about that very thing in a way when the lady came that had been forgiven much and washed His feet with the hairs of her head and poured an ointment upon Him. And the disciples condemned her and said, you know, we should have sold that and give it to the poor. And of course He said, you know, we have the poor always with us. We can always do them good. But Me, ye have not always. And then He said later, she hath done what she could. She hath done what she could. Not everybody can do as much as others. But God doesn't require that. What our abilities are, what our situation is, what our opportunities are, Question is, are we doing what we can? Are we doing what we can? Now, brethren, if you're like me, I look at the things that I'm supposed to do that are the things I can do. And I see the failure. I see the absence of things that should be there. And you may be thinking, you know, I should be a mother more this way or that way. Literally or spiritually. I'm not. Let us look to Jesus. We won't get into heaven by being a great preacher, a great mother, a great father, a great son or daughter. We'll get into heaven because Jesus is not only the author, but the finisher of our faith. As old Isaac Ambrose said, he carries the whole of our salvation from beginning to end. And that's why he says in the apostles' words, looking unto Jesus. Your righteousness as a mother, as a father, as a Christian will never get you there. Your service, your goodness, neither will mine. But what Jesus has done will. So when we see, it's good for us to see where we fall short, because what it does, it relieves us of the eye upon ourselves and our own works, our own performances, and our own good things we think we're doing. It puts us on the only good one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us that forgiveness, gives us that reviving. We sang earlier Psalm 23. What does He do? He restores our soul. He does. Not we, He. Well, let's look to Him today. Let me encourage you, ladies, in your motherhood as literally or spiritually. The Lord will not forget your labor, as little, as much as it is. He approves. He loves. And how Paul shows you how important it is. Sometimes think about the great apostle. He's fearless, goes forward, he's a man of prayer, spiritual power. Yes, he was. But you look at this chapter and it shows you how much God ordained others. We don't even know, you know, Rufus's mother's name. But he had great respect, great love for this woman, because she'd been like a mother to him. But he had to have all these helpers. And so do we. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this great text and encouraging, Lord, our ladies here. And also, Lord, humbling us men. We need each other. We all need the body of Christ. Lord, let us again, as we see our duties, we see our faults, we see the need of strength and grace, turn our eyes from ourselves and just from the bare duties to Him who will enable us to walk in those ways which we should walk. He will give us that love we should have one for another, that humility, that strength, that grace. The Lord, cleanse us of every fault and stain, and grant us, Lord, that grace to walk with Thee this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.